What's up, boys and girls and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I am getting so excited. That's what I am. I'm excited.
Why are you so excited?
Just over a week, we have our very first live podcast.
That is exciting. That is very exciting.
I am beside myself, if you will. Like, what? I'm not in myself, I'm beside myself.
So you're having an out-of-body experience?
What does that even mean, beside myself?
I have no idea. I thought it just meant when you were like super anxious and nervous and kind of a basket case.
I thought it was like, if you're excited, I'm beside myself.
Maybe.
I don't get that though.
Well, then why'd you use it if you don't understand what it means?
I don't know. There's a lot of things I say that I don't know what they mean.
You're one of those people that's intelligent in other ways that other people can't tell. You're exactly like that woman from Real Housewives.
Matt was watching Real Housewives of Dallas with me this morning. And Cameron, if you watch Real Housewives, she's, you know, a beautiful woman. She's not that bright. And I think she puts that on purpose because that's sort of her gimmick. And she was talking about how, like, she used the word, what was the word she used? Articulate. And she was, but it was not the right context she was using it in. And they were making fun of her. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry that I'm not as smart as everyone else is, but I'm smart in other ways that people don't think of. It was hilarious. Anywho, how are you, babe?
I'm good. I too am excited for the PA Market Saturday night, February 27th, the first ever live Bear With Us podcast. It will be socially distant. It will be completely safe. We are taking all necessary precautions. The venue is awesome to work with. They are making sure everybody can be comfortable and safe and have everything that they need, but have a good time. So if you're in or around the Pittsburgh area, or heck, maybe if you're nowhere near Pittsburgh, take a trip. We'll make sure there's space for you. Space is limited, but
first come, first serve.
First come, first serve.
But we'll make it work.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. They have plenty of other spaces throughout it's a big venue. They have outdoor seating, indoor seating. They have several different areas. So we'll make it work one way or another. But we have to step our game up.
What do you mean?
What the hell are we going to talk about?
Well, that's kind of why we're hoping that people show up so we can make it really interactive and A their cues, so to speak. I'm sure by then we'll have something nonsensical and unimportant to ramble on about for quite some time.
Right. But we need to, like, this needs to be on another level. We can't just go in there and talk about the fact that sometimes you're grumpy. Like, we need to talk about the nitty and the gritty and
like
the
butt stuff.
Maybe by then, maybe that's a good excuse for me to touch your butt before the PA Market event.
That's not gonna
because
happen.
Then we'll be able to, you know, discuss the details. You can say that you actually like it, even though you pretend you don't.
I would like to maybe potentially do more than one live Bear With Us podcast in front of people in a public place. So maybe that's not where we start.
Are you saying that I should touch your butt in front of people?
I'm saying stay like the F away from my B.
I think, why do you keep just talking in letters? We're going to A some Q's, stay the F away from my B. What is this? What are you? Are you like Mr. Rogers? Is it Sesame Street? Are you Count Dracula?
Yeah, because Count Dracula was known for his use of letters.
Isn't that the guy's name on Sesame Street?
No, that's the Count.
Oh.
Count Dracula was a vampire based on a real person.
Okay, but you know what I meant. He's like, he did all the letters.
No, he did the numbers because he was the Count.
Oh.
One, two.
So you're telling me you didn't do any letters?
No, that was what like Cookie Monster and the other ancillary cast was for.
Damn it. Okay, well, it's been a while since I watched Sesame Street. But you knew what I meant. UKWIM.
So you just took it to a whole different level that we did not want to take
it
to.
Well, that's what you were doing.
Okay, but either way, follow all of our social media for all of the details that you will need for the first ever live Bear With Us podcast. And with any luck, we may find ourselves on YouTube sooner than later.
RedTube?
I'm on RedTube YouTube. Like daily, but not
Babe,
me personally.
Daily you're on RedTube.
No, maybe not.
That is quite insulting.
It's not insulting.
Every day you're on RedTube?
I was exaggerating. It was hyperbole.
Well, get that hyperbole to a lowperbole. Okay.
What are you eating? Are you eating while you're on the microphone?
I know,
wow,
it's a
this is.
Drop. And I just want it to be gone so I can talk properly. Keep talking so I can, you know. Let me
listen. No, everybody just listen. Everybody listen to Leah crunch and chew her Luden's cough drop. You good?
I want to talk about something.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the fact. Okay, Matt fancies himself to be very intelligent, to know everything. He always says he's the smartest guy in every room, and he's not afraid to say that. However, when it comes to food consumption and anything to do with eating or food, he's not the smartest guy in the kitchen. Let's just say that.
I readily admit that. I'm not one for cooking. I grill.
Okay, but when it comes to donuts, do you know where I'm going with this?
All right, this was an exception.
No, this is not an exception. So Matt got donuts for his girls on Sunday morning for Valentine's Day. So they were like these cute. I posted a picture on my story of it last week. I also carved cute little heart-shaped strawberries. They had strawberry milk, strawberry Turner, shout out. It was cute. So every donut that he got, they were either covered with pink frosting or they were heart-shaped donuts. So was it Sunday night or Monday?
I don't know, babes. Your story.
It's either Sunday night or Monday night. He took a bite from one of the donuts that was heart-shaped, and this donut had no hole in it, okay? So you see where I'm going. He took a bite of it and said, oh my God, there's filling inside of this donut. I'm like, hello, there's not a fucking hole in it. So of course it's filled with something. And he's like, I didn't know that that was the case. I just thought it was a heart-shaped donut with no hole.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that was like the rule.
Isn't that a thing? If there's no hole in it, then there's filling?
I don't know. I mean, I look at like cinnamon rolls. There's no holes in those.
Okay, but that's a cinnamon roll, not a donut.
I don't know. I hate cream or jelly-filled donuts. They gross me out to no end. Life. What? I'm not even laughing at the joke. I'm laughing at how hard you made yourself laugh.
I'm just dying over the fact that you had no idea that a donut without a hole didn't have filling in it. What are you doing with your life?
Obviously not eating enough donuts.
You fancy yourself a donut
person. No, I enjoy donuts. I'm not a connoisseur of donuts. I don't have any ties to the donut community.
That's what this was all about.
You have had that teed up for yourself.
No, I just came up with
days.
That. I just came up with it, and I'm proud of myself.
Hang on, time out. Just want to let you know that this episode of Bear With Us is brought to you by Monk Pack. Now that the holidays are over, it's all too common to set health goals that never actually stick. New Year's resolutions of the past, we're looking at you. And when it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest. Most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This is why Monk Pack is great. They make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar. You've got Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars that contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories. They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle and the perfect snack for anyone who's trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste. I promise you, we've got a drawer in our kitchen that is chock full, stocked with Monk Pack bars, and I may eat them probably more often than I should. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars have a perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, but still manage to be soft and chewy, and they come in delicious flavors like sea salt, dark chocolate, pecan almond, and peanut butter dark chocolate, my favorite flavor personally. They're perfect for a quick snack to satisfy your sweet tooth without the guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars as a quick breakfast while running errands or after a workout. Lee, I'm looking at you. But in addition to being keto friendly, the bars are also gluten-free, plant-based, and non-GMO with no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or artificial colors. They taste incredible, and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or the taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and you will see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code BEAR at checkout. That's B-A-R-E. And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. To get started, just go to monkpack.com. That's M-U-N-K-P-A-C-K PACK.com and select any product, then enter the code BARE, BARE, at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. We thank them for sponsoring Bear with us.
I'm going to invent a shop where it sells donuts that don't have holes in them. And they're just going to be giant, delicious squares or circular pastries with icing.
Well, that's like a Danish or a crawler.
No, Danishes are gross.
You don't like Danishes?
No, especially when they have cheese in them.
Babe, you're so weird. The things you like have disdain for. He doesn't like so he claimed you hated guacamole when we first started dating.
I never ate it.
It's gross. I don't like guacamole. It's disgusting. And do you like guacamole now?
I do.
Exactly. Because you, just like your children, you have like this certain idea in your head of what things are and what you don't and do like. And like, oh no, I just don't like that. And your kids probably hear that you don't like certain things. So then they don't.
It's my prerogative. I can do what I want to do.
But you've never tried things. You make fun of people on the internet that just retweet things or post things without reading it, right? Without reading the details. You just read the headline and not the actual story. Am I right? That's you when it comes to food.
While we're talking about
great parallel, give me my props for that.
No. While we're talking about internet people, though, we binged, if you will, through the Cecil Hotel documentary on Netflix.
I'm not letting you get away with this.
What?
You're just glazing over. See what I did there? Glazing over the whole donut situation.
You gloss, you don't glaze.
Okay, whatever. Keep going.
Anyway, the anxiety that Leah experienced while watching the Cecil Hotel documentary was through the roof, but also ultimately it gave me a sense of accomplishment when I realized that this is a spoiler, sort of, but the internet people are often wrong.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. Well, it was very nice to have that brought to the forefront when the one guy showed up on the screen and said, I studied this case for hours and I disagree with the coroner. I about went through the roof.
I know you lost
this guy sitting on his internet, just Googled through social media or whatever he did. However, he came to the information that he had, he felt more confident than a goddamn doctor, a coroner. And this guy was totally willing to tell the world how wrong the coroner was. And guess what? That guy is still probably, scrolling the depths of the internet.
Well, it's all the internet, like the hype and people like the media, what the media puts out there. Right. And we say that a lot when we're just talking about the news and everything. But for example, this other guy, like they decided suddenly the internet decided this one guy was the one that murdered this girl. And he had absolutely nothing to do with it. He wasn't even in the country when this happened, but the internet saw him post the one time that he was at the Cecil Hotel. So they made all of these correlations between the two. And this poor guy's life is ruined forever.
Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Enough about that, though. Enough about the anxiety. Enough about my donut shortcomings.
But wait, can we just give me some credit
for
watching this show?
Why?
I only like The Housewives. I only like happy, fun shows. I don't like anything that gives me stress and anxiety. But I watched it for you. And I'm proud of myself for that. Even though I had nightmares two nights in a row, I had nightmares.
What did you have nightmares about?
Last night I had a nightmare about someone chasing me with a gun. And the night before I had a nightmare of being stuck in a house, a haunted house in LA.
It was in LA. That was about the closest correlation to the documentary.
I'm just saying, I get these thoughts in my head. It's scary. I don't like it. That's why I like watching happy shows. So you're welcome.
I think I more than earned you sitting down and watching a television show with me over the last week. Would you disagree?
I will not disagree. I think last week you really got yourself in this rabbit hole of why you hate Valentine's Day, right? So I hope everyone out there listening had a great Valentine's Day, whether you're coupled up, married up, single, recently single, it doesn't matter. I hope you all felt some love, whether it was from your partner, your family, your gals, your galentines. I hope you had a great time because I know I had the best Valentine's Day. Than anyone I know. And I don't even care. I'm not ashamed. I'm excited. I'm proud. I can't even believe the stops that this man pulled out of his beautiful butthole for me and for our Valentine's Day.
It didn't really require a great deal of ingenuity. just a little motivation, just a push. Because as we discussed last week, I still to this day think Valentine's Day is a nonsense holiday. And it's just an excuse for women to get mad at their partners for not doing as cool of a thing as everybody else did. So when Leah intimated to me last week that yes, in fact, she would like to do something for Valentine's Day, despite my disdain for the holiday, I obliged. And this time when I obliged, I hit a goddamn home run.
2% of me felt bad. I'm like, am I pushing him to do this? Am I like making him do something? No, I'm not. All I said was, I want to do something for Valentine's Day. It's been a while since Matt has actually put in an effort to plan something that was a surprise for me. I think the last time we did that was when we first started dating on Total Divas, when we did the dance class and had the beautiful dinner that night. Other than that, I don't know when it's been something that's like, oh, you planned something that I don't know about.
To that point, I'm sure somebody listening to this can relate, where you are not A, easy to surprise. No. You're goddamn impossible to surprise. And B, you're very particular about what you do and don't like. I might think, oh, hey, this great pizza place just opened and it's got awesome beer. And I think it'd be an awesome place for us to go and have a great dinner.
That's something you like.
Exactly. That's my point. You are very particular at what you like. Yeah, I just said
but
that.
You know the things I like. I like wine. I like your dick. I like your butthole. I like to laugh. I like
in that
fashion.
Order. Laughter is fourth.
But you know what I like and what I don't like.
Right. But what I'm just saying is rather than spending an exorbitant amount of money on a risk, I like to know, hey, Leah really wants to go to this restaurant. Leah really wants to see this show. So I'm inclined to go that way to follow. The pressure on me is crippling.
Oh, my God.
Not that you put it that way. The pressure that I put on myself when you say, don't tell me, surprise me. What do you want for Christmas, babe? I don't know. Okay, well, you do know. You always know.
A poem.
We're months past that. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. There's a lot of pressure that I put on myself, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, to go, oh, man, okay. Not that I'm afraid of the surprise or that I'm against doing the work or the plan. It's this inherent fear that the planning and effort that I do make is not going to be good enough for what you have in mind. Because while you might say, I want to do something for Valentine's Day, somewhere in the depths of your mind, you have at least an idea of what is acceptable or what you're in the mood for. You may not outright say it. You may not even know specifically this restaurant or this meal, but you have an idea. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. But I also think you know me at this point, and I would, no matter what you did, not be disappointed or be like, oh, this is all you did. And again, you know that about me.
I just said the pressure comes from me, not right. from you. But it is crippling anxiety. Like, oh my God, I was so stressed out for the week leading up to this. It wasn't this grandiose plan, but I was like, oh no, I made this effort. I'm putting my eggs in this basket. God forbid something go awry. And then like we come back to Pittsburgh and the weather's bad and there's supposed to be blizzards. And I'm like the whole day prior when it was snowing all day, I'm going, oh God, I know this is going to blow up in my face. I know this is going to blow up my face. The reservation is going to get canceled. The restaurant's going to close. The other thing is going to not open because the conditions are too bad. As late as Monday afternoon, because again, Valentine's Day proper, we had my kids and a million obligations, so we celebrated Monday. Also, not a bad move for anybody listening. Yeah. Next year, if you can't find reservations on February 14th, do it the 15th. And even the waitress at the restaurant went, oh, are you guys celebrating Valentine's Day? It's not
so
that
many
uncommon.
People there were,
Something to keep in mind going forward. If it's not on the exact day, it's the idea. So I had all these plans, and as late as like Monday afternoon, I was calling to verify that everything was still a go. And it was.
And it was.
And
it was
so
amazing.
We went.
So we went. Am I explaining what we did?
I was going to hope that was like kind of the crux of the story.
So we went out to this beautiful dinner at Monterey Bay on Mount Washington, which is overlooks the entire city, has the most beautiful view of the city. We had the best table in the restaurant. Full disclosure, we went to dinner at 5:15 because we're grandparents and we like to eat early and go to bed early.
Yeah.
So we had dinner reservations at 5:15 and it was beautiful. And the food was amazing. The service was great. It was just romantic.
It was the first time I've ever got to see from a restaurant, like a seated view of the entire city while, with snowfall. It was kind of pretty. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen pictures of it. I've lived in it. But to just kind of picturesque look out the window and see all of downtown Pittsburgh with a sheet of white over it was kind of cool.
It had a different vibe compared to when, like Matt says, I said last week on the podcast, we go out for dinners. We do nice things together all the time. We try to like keep the romance alive in that sense. But this just felt different. It felt like a special occasion compared to like, oh, we're just going out to dinner tonight because we need food and we just don't feel like cooking. It was different. Wouldn't you say is like a different vibe between us than just like a normal out to dinner night?
Definitely was a step above our usual dining.
Right. We don't go out to fancy dinners and like once in a while, sure, it's nice. But most of the time we're going out in like regular ass clothes, not trying to be, you know, fancy or anything like that. So this was just nice. We got dressed up. Matt wears turtleneck and his little overcoat.
You have to specify. I have multiple turtlenecks now.
Oh, you do?
I do.
I know you have two. You have a black one and a brown one.
It's cream.
Oh, cream. Excuse me.
Come on there, fashionista.
Cream and black. And then you also have the magenta one.
What?
Just kidding. Oh. Seeing if you're paying attention. But yeah, he got dressed up and we had just a beautiful dinner. I had my very first espresso martini. I don't know why it took me 33 years to try an espresso martini, but I am obsessed. It was incredible. And then the little surprise happened.
I'm going to throw you a little backstory.
Okay.
As to how this all came to be to the people listening to this show, if they are still listening to this show.
I hope you are. Sorry, guys. Rambling.
That's quite all right. It's an excited rambling. I will not complain about that. There is a business that is on the path from our home to the studio where we do this here podcast. And we drive past it every single week. And to the best of my knowledge, it was a lingerie shop of sorts. Nothing more. There's not a whole lot of information or signage. You see some mannequins with some lacy stuff in the window. And I would make the joke to Leah every time we drive past it, no matter if it's 10 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon or late at night, let's stop. This place is called Pultra, P-U-L-C-H-R-A. And I would say, hey, let's stop at Pultra. Let's
want to go to Pultra. You say that every week,
point where we just went, we're never going to go there. But for some reason, when I made the reservations, I made a joke to Leah when I texted that I first made the dinner reservations. I said, oh, yeah, this place requires really fancy underwear. Had nothing to do with the plan.
No, you said no underwear. You can't wear underwear to the restaurant.
Is that what it was? It was something to do with underwear. It was a completely meaningless text. It was just me just being silly. Yeah. Like, hey, for some reason, I went down this path in my brain and I'm like, maybe there's something to this. So I worked a little wizardry like Leah usually does to, you know, use her social media and contacts. Actually, I just made a phone call and they opened up for a private little shopping session post dinner. So Leah's got a few espresso martinis in her, not feeling any pain.
Right.
When we arrived and I'd say we both had our expectations blown away.
Yeah. So I'm not even lying, you guys. I had an inclination that this is what we were going to do. I don't know why. Like Matt said, I'm so hard to surprise. All my birthday gifts, Christmas presents, everything. Before I open it, I guess what it is and I'm always right.
And when she does it 4 days before Christmas and it's like this nice gift that you spent a considerable amount of money on and she picks it up and in 4 seconds goes, this is a teapot. I went, What's the point? Where's the fun in this? Anyway.
Even when the kids were giving me gifts on Christmas Eve, remember like Cash handed me a little and I was like, this is a wine topper.
Yeah. It was in a box.
How do you know?
It's scary.
I'm like the guy in Wedding Crashers and can just like look at presents and guess. Oh. I just cannot be surprised. So I had an inclination that this is what we're going to do. I didn't know it was going to be a private shopping experience because apparently on Mondays they're closed. So Matt had wine waiting for us. And we walked in. I was like, oh my God. First of all, I felt like I was in a movie because it was pouring out. So we had to like wait under like the stoop. So we're waiting and I have like my little scarf over my head. I was like, oh my God, this is so romantic. And then they opened the shop for us. And oh my God, you guys, I felt like I was in a movie. There's beautiful lingerie everywhere. And we're met by this guy named Bill, who is so fabulous, obsessed with Bill. Shout out to Bill and his little dog. They were so cute. And he was like, okay, so here we have the lingerie shop. Out back, you can find the toy shop. And then downstairs is the kink shop. We're like, wait, what? Like, I just thought it was a lingerie shop. Were you surprised by this?
I was a little surprised. The only information I had had was from their website. And I was like, oh, they might have some, I believe they are generally referred to as marital aids, which I was like, okay, I mean, you can get those at Spencer's Gifts now, as right. we learned, but these were a bit of a step up.
Yeah, they were very fancy and elaborate, and they also had art on the walls with frames from the Vatican, and they had all these amazing like coffee table books of like boudoir shoots and the history of corsets, and all. I was just in heaven. I was blown away. So and now, like, I've had a few espresso martinis and I'm holding a glass of wine. So I'm like, ooh, I want this. I want this. I want that. I want that. And, you know, just got to try on lingerie. And then we went downstairs and he was talking about the, what's it called? The spank table.
Yes.
And they had a sex swing and like.
For the record, like, just to clarify, we did not get to use the spank table. It was for display only at the time.
Too bad. I mean, I said to Matt then, I was like, I think some girls would dream about, you know, their partner shutting down Louis Vuitton or a beautiful department store and shut. And I was like, this is the best thing you could have ever done. This was just amazing. And I just, it was, I don't know, just so cool that something like that existed right down the street from where we live, because I feel like a lot of times those things are sort of looked at as like taboo, like, oh, we can't go in here. We can't look at this. We can't get that. And it was just so fucking cool. We had it all to ourselves and no one's judging. And we just had ourselves a time.
Well, you said the word taboo, like that's kind of the magic word that is, it actually is kind of how this whole podcast came to be. It started long before we even were doing Instagram lives. I remember laying, I believe it was the 4th of July last year or 2 years, I guess 2 years ago now, laying by the pool at my place in Connecticut. And discussing, man, after our careers, you know, wrap up where they are right now, like, wouldn't it be fun to do a YouTube show
or a Vice,
like a travel show based around sexuality and not in a like perverse way, not porn, just kind of like, hey, sex is a super important part of a lot of people's lives. It is part of human nature, but society over the years has made so many different things taboo and it's gotten much better. Like I couldn't imagine having the mindset that you and I have now in the 50s or the 60s. Yeah. Like we would have been, you know, burned at the stake for even talking about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But to you and I, that's been something where we're like, oh, you know what? It would be kind of cool to normalize a lot of these taboos and just realize like, hey, they exist for a reason because a lot of people are into it. People are just afraid to talk about it and people are ashamed of it. But so for us to be able to go, hey, there's this awesome sex shop in so-and-so town and this thing we bought was amazing and it made for a great evening and we both enjoyed it and it was fun.
Kinda, but even like how Bill was saying that, he's like, he just said everything so passively. He's like, yeah, so there's the kink shop, there's this shop, there's a spank table, there's that. Like, he wasn't like, oh, if you guys are into that. Like, it was just like a normal conversation that didn't feel uncomfortable.
No, not at all. You know. And that's kind of been our goal. And obviously we're not the only ones. They've beaten us to it. I actually was able to speak with the owner of the shop after we had left. I mean, she was very
excited. Shout out to Helen.
Yeah, Helen said she'd heard we had a great time, which we did. We might even try to get her on this here podcast because
that'd be awesome.
She has a pretty interesting story as to how her business came to be. But more on that in the future.
But she's sort of the same thing, you know, like she wants to normalize it.
Right. And that she gave us the Cliff's Notes version of how she got in the position she's in. And we realized we're all kind of fighting the same battle. It's to kind of remove the shame from one of the most fun, interesting activities in the human world, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times couples are even afraid to talk about it with their partner, like if something that they're into or something they want to try or something they find interesting, like they feel ashamed to even bring it up. But you're with your partner, you should be able to bounce ideas off each other or say, hey, like, I kind of want to try this. And it might sound silly to you, but I guarantee if you say it to your partner, they were probably thinking it or have thought even more into it than you have. But it's just about having the conversation and
You don't have to start a podcast about it either. Yeah. We're a little bit on the far side of the fence here, but it's definitely something it's helped our relationship immensely. It strengthens us, and that definitely gives us almost as like an alternative activity. Sex is like just a part of our relationship now. We talk about it all the time. There's not necessarily a ritual and ceremony involved. It's just like, hey, I'm not doing anything. You're not doing anything. You know, it would be fun if we did this thing together.
Right.
Okay, cool. And it, you know, doesn't happen like that all the time, but
yeah. But even like sometimes that one thing, loved that, or maybe we don't need to do that again, or, you know, but we can have open conversations about it after or before or whenever. Like, I feel so comfortable with you that I can suggest things or nix things, or you don't want me to touch your butthole. I get it. But like, we feel comfortable enough talking to each other about these things. And I think that a lot of couples have a hard time bringing that about because I think that the other person isn't going to be open to it, but I guarantee they will be.
And I think a lot of that is, and I don't know this, I'm not a psychologist, but I would say a lot of it has to do with how you were raised or what you were exposed to before you got to this relationship that you're in. When I grew up, like, I knew about sex. It wasn't this forbidden taboo thing in my house, but it's not something to this day that I ever talked to my parents about or even really acknowledge. Like, okay, we know you do this thing. I know I exist because you had to do this thing.
Right.
But it wasn't forbidden. It just kind of was ignored.
Right. Whereas I grew up, it's not like we had like all over the house. It's not like that. It was, you know, if I had a question, I could talk to my mom about it and she wouldn't be like, oh, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. She would make me feel comfortable enough to go to her and talk to her, ask questions. And I never felt, you know, weird or nervous about it. And I mean, growing up, I always made like sex jokes about, I mean, my mom knows how beautiful your dick is because I tell her all the time. So it's like something that, like, and I'm not saying she loves it, but she just like, oh, Leah, you know, she just laughs it off. But I've like always just sort of made like sexual jokes and joked around about that stuff because I've never felt, you know, worried about doing that. It was never a thing that was like taboo in my family. So I think, I don't know if I brought that out of you or like, no, I make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I definitely, it has to do with the comfort level, because as far as knowing about these things, like I'm pretty deep in that hole.
I've been with a lot of women.
That's not what I'm saying at
all. Totally
get it. Not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying, as far as being exposed to things and being open and discussing,
sure,
I've more or less kept to myself what I know, what I think about, what I'm curious about, all that.
Right.
That's just something I can't say I've ever had to struggle with it. It's never been like, oh, I've got this yearning to let this side of me out. It's not anything like that.
Yeah.
But just to have a conversation casually, which we've gotten to a point where you go, hey, I saw this toy on the internet. I think I'm going to order it. And I go, oh, okay, cool. It's more of a conversation and just a regular occurrence.
Yeah.
How would you tell somebody who is not as open and honest, but is curious about that, to take a step to break their mold?
I don't know. I think it's something, maybe you know your partner more than anyone, right? So I guess you would know when the right time, like I know certain times to approach you about something or to just let it be. Like if you do something to piss me off, I can't tell you right then and there. We have to wait a day or two for you to chill out, and then I can bring it up to you. So I think every situation is different. Some situations I would say, okay, like maybe when you're getting a little like in the mood and you're trying, like, hey, you know, I would kind of like if you did something like this, and just show them or do it. And I think that your partner will probably be open to it if it's something that will benefit both of you. And I just think you just have to have the car. Like, I'm not saying sit down at dinner and be like, please pass the piece. Also, I want to peg you. Like, don't, you know, you have to, like, there's a time and a place, I think, to bring things up.
Or in your case, you can just spring it on me in the heat of passion. Like when I suddenly found half of your foot in my mouth the other day.
Babe, what are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking
about. Don't say that.
Okay.
That is private information. Okay.
Well, it's out there now. It's out there for the universe. I'm going to make a request, and I'm going to need the Bear With Us fans to weigh in on this. I would like a new mailbag intro.
No,
not babe, every week.
No one wants that. Everyone wants the Blue's Clues song.
I think as 50% of this podcast should have a say in the matter.
Babe, you're going to make me get rid of the song?
No.
You are such a heel.
I am not making you get rid of anything. I'm just saying that once in a while, it might be fun if I could, you know, have a sound effect or something to cue us in.
Okay, so then let's.
I don't make the sound effects. I'm not a soundboard. I was thinking maybe you know, our producer could chop something up.
No one likes that.
How much more fun would it be if you had Brad Pitt from Seven going, "What's in the box?" Because it's a mailbox.
No, babe. That, no one wants that.
I think people like it.
Literally no one wants that
at
all.
It's provocative. It gets people going.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my little tail when it comes. I want a whale mail. That's what the people want. No one wants Brad Pitt. Question number one, honey. Hey, y'all. Thank you for all the sort of advice you've given thus far. I haven't missed an episode. My question. I'm in no rush. I was married for almost 10 years and going through divorce. I've only ever had sex with one person, and I often wonder how I'll be able to be with another person. I have four little humans and a bearded dragon.
It's a pet.
Oh. I thought it was a vagina.
No, I think bearded clam is the nomenclature used for a vagina.
Oh, okay.
A bearded dragon.
Okay, I was like, wow, she's really putting it out there.
It's a lizard.
She has four kids and a busted vagina, and she's wondering if she can get laid again. Okay. She says, I'm terrified. Me too. Who would want to be with somebody who's broke and have gone through craziness and assault? I often think about how hard life is getting and how hard it will be if I ever start dating. I'm terrified. What do you have for me? First of all, I'm sorry about the assault. That is awful. Like,
sure.
I don't even know what to say.
I can't necessarily speak to those wounds, but there are professionals you can talk to and people close to you. I'm sure that would be great to listen to you and let you get everything inside out. It sounds cliche and it sounds like an easy answer, but we talk about it all the time. You can't get to the future if the past is still present. You kind of just have to look at yourself as a clean slate and you have to go, hey, yeah, I've got baggage. Leah and I had this conversation the other night. I had to tell Leah like how much I actually appreciate how willing she was to jump in and absorb all of the madness that came with me. And I'm not disparaging, obviously, my children are so important. But yeah, having gone through a divorce and it throws your finances up in the air and it's tough. Anyone that's been through it will tell you it's one of the worst things you can possibly get through. But rather than dwelling on it and worrying and thinking that you're not worth it or you're going to have a struggle to meet somebody new, pandemic aside, that is just everyone gets a mulligan on that one. But you have to just look at what you are and who you are and what makes you happy. And there are people out there and there are people that will listen to you. It may not happen overnight, but if you come into a conversation or a relationship constantly selling yourself short, you are also going to be selling your potential partner short. Because they're not going to get the best of you because you're so wrapped up in yourself.
Just piggybacking off of that, more than anything, you need to find yourself. You need to find your confidence. You need to find your inner boss bitch and know what you deserve. And I don't know if this is a woman or a man who wrote this.
I'm not entirely sure, but either way.
So either way, you need to find out who you are and be you and just be the best version of yourself. Because when you're happy and when you're, you know, you're full true self, that's when you're going to attract anything good that's coming your way. You're going to find someone that will be a partner for you and someone who will love you for who you are. But you can't do that until you are truly happy on your own. And when you're happy on your own, you'll be much better as a partner for whoever it is you're with.
Right. Because when you're at your best self, when you enter a new relationship, you know, you're going to have to compromise. Every relationship involves compromise. I mean, that's the most important thing. But you have a more steady foundation in yourself and who you are and what you want. So when you come to compromise, you're less likely to just roll over and die and put yourself in a situation that you don't want to be in because you constantly just said, yeah, sure. Likes this. There are times you have to pick and choose your battles. Everyone will admit it. But if you come in there knowing who you are and what makes you happy and what you like and what you will settle for and what you will not settle for, you're setting yourself up for much higher success rate than looking at yourself as a broken toy that anybody would be lucky
just
to
like
play
to
with you.
Fix or, yeah. Yeah. You can't have anyone fix you.
Yeah. You fix yourself and come back at it and just keep your head up. It's not going to happen overnight, or maybe it will. Who knows?
Got to keep your head up. Okay. Question number two. Let me guess. You want to find someone to put in question number two?
Yeah, how about
we're just basically replacing
two,
me. Or what about the owl from the Tootsie Roll?
One, a two, a three.
The fact that you're even trying to like slowly push me out of the show so it can just be the Matt show is really fucking disgusting.
Okay.
And I am pissed. Well, not that pissed because you have a lot of points saved up from the other night. So I'll let it slide. Question number two, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah, I started listening to your podcast today. Well, what the fuck took you so long? Welcome. And I must say you are both amazing. You are real and honest. It's truly refreshing in this day of falseness with well-known people. Here's my question. My husband and I have been together for 19 years, married for 14. I used to play pool leagues with my husband on Tuesday nights. I stopped a few years ago due to it just wasn't fun for me anymore. And now that I have stopped, my husband and I no longer have our Tuesday night outing. I want to have date night, but it has been so long since we have gone on a date that I don't even know how to bring it up or even what to say. It almost feels embarrassing and I don't know why. I want to spark some romance back, especially since quarantine and time has dulled us. How do I bring up date night when it's been so long since we dated? Is it weird that I want to date my hot hubby? Absolutely not. I think it's amazing.
I think this could have been the question asked that kicked off today's entire show.
Yeah.
Give him a hint. And if he doesn't get the hint, hint a little harder. And if that doesn't work, say, hey, listen, you son of a bitch. I'm your wife and I love you and I want to spend time with you. Please do something with me.
Right.
And it may take something that blunt. Obviously, do it in a, don't yell at him. But if you do it in a sort of a stern manner, but lighthearted, he's probably going to go, oh, are you serious? Okay. I think, and I can attest to this, after a relationship is in the doldrums for so long. And I don't say in the, I mean, just status quo, not necessarily bad. It could still be a good relationship, but if you don't make the effort to let him know that you still want those things, he may be inclined to just not think about them. I can speaking from experience here. If Leah didn't say, I want to do something on Valentine's Day, it wasn't, oh, I wasn't against it. It just wasn't in my headspace. So that little nudge is all it took. He may very well just be like, oh, well, yeah, we used to go to pool night on Tuesday and it used to be a really fun thing we used to do. And she just didn't want to go. And now we don't do anything. He may have the same exact thoughts that you do, but you'll never know until you ask him about it.
Here's my suggestion. Tell your husband, hey, Tommy, guess what? You, me, Wednesday night, we're going out. That's all you got to say. And then on Wednesday night, you make sure you look the hottest you've ever looked. Wear some hot lingerie under your outfit. Get done up to the nines. Make sure you look like the hottest version of yourself. And now you're going to go out together and you're going to have a great night. Even if you just go to Chuck E. Cheese, I don't even care where you go. You go somewhere and you look like so hot and you're so confident and you enjoy your time and you grab his attention. You keep his attention. Then you go home and you suck his dick better than you've ever sucked it before. And then he's going to be like, wow, I want to do this every week. And then there you go, honey. That's all you got to do. You're the woman. We're in control here. You just got to pick and choose where you do it. And I promise you, he'll want to go out with you the following week because guess what? He's going to say, I want that good sucking again. But it makes sense. I'm telling you, this is what you have to do. And it's going to work. And I guarantee you do that. You write back in and then tell me that it worked. And then send Venmo me like $100 for the great advice.
I can't say it any better.
I'm telling you, it'll work.
You just own that one. So, hey,
it'll work.
Do you actually feel, I've heard it before. Is it a real thing that when you're wearing nice underwear, you feel more confident?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Wear lingerie. Cause now you're feeling sexy the entire time you're out. He doesn't even have to know what's under there, but you, it's just going to be this subconscious thing where you're just acting a little sexier because you know what you're working with. And I promise you it's going to work. You got to do it.
Shake your ass. Watch yourself.
Watch yourself. Shake your ass. Show me what you're working with. Babe, I am so excited for our live show.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be so fun. I'm going to get wasted.
No, don't get wasted.
Yeah.
No,
that's what the people want.
Well, I mean, it might be what the people want, but it's probably not conducive to our professional lives.
I'm just kidding. But my point is, I'll probably say a lot of things that I don't mean, and we're going to really get into the nitty gritty, and Have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to meet some people that listen to this.
I want to see the faces
of the people. We know you exist. We have numbers that say so, and we have comments and lovely messages in the mailbag, which we urge you to continue sending in and doing and subscribing.
And like and follow and tweet and leave us a review, you guys. Come on. Even if you left us a review before, make up another name and leave us another review. We need it. We need it so we can build up the charts and we can go to number one and then we can go to Disney World.
I'm all for a good, honest defrauding of the Apple podcast platform.
Or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's right. I want to meet some people. We've got a little less than... It's a little over a week.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so fun.
It is going to be fun. I have one request.
What?
In the wake of my Valentine's Day success, do you think it would be too much for me to have a small podium where you put a medal around my neck and crown me world champion of love officially?
No, babe. Because there's still room for improvement. You did great, sure. But could you have done better? Probably.
I'm just saying. And still.
You are the world champion of love.
Thank you.
And it's funny how you really present yourself on this podcast and on social media, but like the real Matt is very sweet and sensitive and not at all what you would expect. You're really just, you know, he likes to keep it hidden behind closed doors. So I will say for you that you are a very sweet, kind soul. Despite what the people think.
Sweet, kind soul does not sound anything like world champion of love.
That equates to world champion of love. Can I touch your bottle?
No.
Please.
No.
What if I put a donut in my mouth and then lick your butthole?
If you declare me world champion of love, we'll talk about
You're the world champion of love, baby.
Goodbye forever.
Tonight is my night. Bear with us.
What's in the box?
Not till you give me the
What's
gun.
In the box?
Give me the gun.